You're listening to, you know what really grinds my gears? Dissecting religious ideologies and belief systems through the New Covenant lens of grace.
There's nothing wrong with singing or having a worship gathering of some sort, but in many charismatic churches today, the mountaintop, that's in quotation marks, of the Christian experience is an emotional worship service. That's basically all it is. Doing something Jesus never asked for is the pinnacle, while we categorically ignore the majority of his teachings in context. And this is why we can have prominent charismatic leaders within the charismatic camp supporting politicians who basically embody the exact opposite of Jesus, because we aren't actually following Jesus or listening or focusing on him. We have simply created a new set of experiences, a new set of traditions, and slap the Christ brand onto them. Hey guys, this is Trent. Welcome back to You Know What Really Grinds My Gears weekly podcast. This simply focuses on, as my wife said in the introduction, I'm not going to say again, we just try to apply the new covenant of grace, the new covenant of the finished work of Christ to false ideologies and thoughts and dictations. So anyway, here we go. We're going to talk about some stuff today. So let's get going. I like to think we are special and new, and that we've created some kind of loophole or some kind of new way of doing things. But all we've done within the charismatic church or the charismatic order, it's just we've made up a new tradition. And sometimes what we've done is we've taken a new tradition we've made up, and we've kind of stuck it in into our dogma, into our convictions, and what we decide we want to believe and how we want to experience that. And we've called it God is doing a new thing, when really, no, God is not doing a new thing. There's no new thing under the sun. But we have nothing new under the sun. New traditions are not God's way of saying, hey, I got a new thing for you to experience. But again, the problem in charismatic worship services today is it's not the music. I find some of the music actually like pretty good. Not all of it. I mean, some of it's left for debate. But the problem is all the stuff we ignore while we focus on the music, right? I mean, yeah, we could have a few people into my home, my wife and I, we could have a guitar or something, and we could just all sing, but we don't have to call it a worship service. It's funny because Jesus never ever once asked anybody to worship him. Did you know that? Like, no, he never said to worship him. He never said to focus on him and worship him. But he did say at least 29 or 30 times, follow him. Now, in the new covenant, since the cross, since the finished work of Christ, we don't follow Christ. Simply because he's not around. He's not physically, you know, in a body where we can actually, like the disciples and people of the first to fourth century, followed him around with their feet and investigated and, I guess, became privy to what he was saying and doing. His ministry, whatever was in front of them, they experienced that. I mean, we don't follow Christ that way. But the reality is, when it comes to who we are in Christ, because of the finished work of Christ, completely forgiven, past, present, and future. Don't need to worry about our identity, whether it ever be stolen, lost, or plucked out of his hand, because it won't be. Because he promises that to us, that it will never be plucked out of his hand. We will never be plucked out of his hand. Our sins are completely intentionally forgotten about. So we're good. We're in good hands, people. We're in good hands, Christians. Listen, if I can just implore you to really search out the depth and length and exhaust yourself looking at how incredibly free you are in the grace of God, and give yourself that chance to just focus on Jesus and rest and just know that you don't have to do anything to get his attention. Anyway, I digress. We're going to switch right back to what we're talking about today. We're talking about spiritual versus natural when it comes to charismatics and what they, how they express themselves in worship services. And like I said, that the problem isn't the music. It's the stuff we add. It's the stuff we ignore, and the stuff we sometimes focus on that's not even biblical. It's not even, we can't even see an example of it in Scripture. So the problem is how the worship services are, I guess, designed to serve. They're designed to serve our counterpoint to our dry seasons in life and our desperation. So this is what this two-part series is all about. What I'm doing is just trying to debunk all of this. Most of the worship services in the charismatic movement are to help you, I guess, prime or, I don't even know how to say it, prime, pump up, reinvigorate your season of dryness into, and desperation into, you know, this, where you're completely ejected into some kind of unbelievable spiritual experience that supposedly you will be able to maintain for the rest of your life. But we know emotions, feelings, endorphins, all that stuff is just, it's a part of our bodily makeup. So anyway, let's talk about spiritual versus natural. The trouble isn't that nothing real is happening, or that everything in our lives is manufactured. That's not the issue. The trouble that I have, the trouble of a lot of people that I know, friends of mine, who've been down that road of dogmatic behavior, or follow the leader within the ranks of the church, or in the worship service setting of the church. We see this manufactured, this, you know, a prearranged set on the platform. We see how it's all, it's pre-selected songs. I mean, nothing wrong with that. But the trouble is that we insist on making that divide, right? In the charismatic church, we're so adamant about differentiating the natural from the supernatural. We want to see a difference. Oh, that's natural. And sometimes that what's natural is frowned upon and looked down upon. But if you can somehow manufacture right off the charismatic belt of production something that looks supernatural by way of some emotional or erratic experience, then you're classified differently. And it's true. You aren't just saying, affirming things to that person when you say, oh, that's supernatural. No, what we need to do is what we do is, or what they do is to call that prophecy and spiritualize it. Right, so we might say affirming things to people or in church or in a service. Oh God, I see something. I see you in the business world, or I see you holding the mic, speaking to the nations, and people are coming to Christ. And we call that prophecy. When a lot of it's stuff we just make up in our own head, and we burden people with our ideologies, which I told you that this podcast is all about debunking those. But that's what we do. We say affirming things to people in these charismatic circles and worship services because it's free-flowing and it's encouraged, right? It's encouraged to, if you get some whimsical message or some thought that drops in your head, it's got to be God, right? It's always God. It can never be your own. it never could be your own thoughts. But a lot of the times, it is. But we spiritualize these things because to us, or to the charismatic, when I say us, I mean charismatic, the charismatic flock, there is nothing inherently valuable in simply seeking positive things or saying positive things over each other. So it's got to be big and better. It's got to be, like I said, it's got to be making a scene. It's got to be erratic. It's like smoke and mirrors. It's, which in this example, it's, we'll say fire and smoke. It's got to be something to get your attention. It can't be anything small. Like if I were to, you know, walk over to you and say, listen, I just want to say, just want to encourage you and let you know that that sin you told me about, that's covered. That's not just covered, sorry. It's completely eliminated. He doesn't remember them no more. You're free. You don't need to wallow in self-pity and guilt. Christ sees you as his child. You're good. Just continue to be yourself and allow him to remind you through the Holy Spirit of everything he's said and done. See, that's a good form of Christian encouragement without bells and whistles. We don't need, you know, to go on off on these tangents of flights and fancy, right? We don't need to do that. It's simply confirming the gospel in one another, right? Which also means when we hear these erratic, stupid prophecies that people say over each other, we get scared, right? We get scared. Anytime that someone says something outside of our exclusive group, and it taps into anything that we claim as being supernatural, when the charismatics get a little concerned about, right? They get scared. Anybody comes inside those circles and begins to just be simple, they feel like they are interfering with their supernatural dominion, right? Or their supernatural agenda. Like, so for example, when non-Christian groups claim healing is happening, right? We like to claim false or maybe even demon without the slightest investigation. And I get that. Or even worse, when scientific studies reveal that the placebo effect achieves actual results for a percentage of participants, aka a certain percentage of people who believe they are being healed, will actually be healed regardless of the reason they believe they are being healed or the legitimacy of that healing method. That's when we all freak out, right? So if you understand the placebo effect, that's when, you know, you got a percentage of people who believe they're being healed, and maybe it's the setting, it's the music, it's the aura, and sometimes there's this, you know, a sense of adrenaline that sometimes goes through our body, and for a second we just feel good because of the endorphins. But then they actually find out that they're not healed, and then we're back to square one. Well, why weren't they healed? But we got to understand, these settings that we like to call supernatural settings are settings that not everything 100% is divinely orchestrated by God. It's perpetrated by people who have an agenda, who are after money. Oh, so much here to talk about. But anyway, that's when the charismatics freak out, when they finally realize that, wow, you know, I'm doing this on a whim. I'm creating, you know, a reaction, an endorphin rush reaction that's really not God at all. It's just me creating this placebo effect. Anyways, and for the charismatics, for the Pentecostals in that camp, it's not 100% divine intervention, then to them, has no value. So everything has to be supernatural, not natural, right? It has no value if it's not 100% divine intervention. But that's not true, right? Because, I mean, unfortunately, we are often aided in this perspective by counterparts, those without a mystic bone in their body, which is, you know, you can classify yourself in whatever category you wish. But we see people who are incapable of appreciating or gleaning from anything they don't understand, and we think that that is the only alternative, right? We see people who can't really enjoy anything because to them, everything is rooted in some meaningless mathematical equation. And this is where I will end the podcast for today, but simply said, we have a certain group of people who bought into this supernatural, divinely manufactured setting and experience that has really not done anything. It's just sleight of hand. It's like a magic trick. We create a scene that makes it look like something's happening. But when these charismatics begin to see, right, that they're incapable of making these things happen, then they begin to freak out. They begin to, oh, this is too natural. The supernatural is being attacked, but that's not the case. But again, what we have to understand is if it's not this complicated mathematical equation within the worship services, then something's wrong. But I want to tell you, like, through the lens of grace, through the lens of the new covenant, it's not that way. Right? Read Ephesians chapter 2, how the body of Christ includes the Jews and Gentiles, and how the Gentiles were without Christ in the world. They were without a family, lost, without God. But Jesus Christ reconciled us to the Father through the finished work of Christ. And now that is just, when we get together, we're simply just reminding each other of the gospel and reminding each other of who we are in Christ and celebrating that. Remember, simple is better. And I encourage you to break free from this cycle. If you found yourself in that camp, break free from it. The reality is that there's no divide between natural and supernatural, guys. There's just reality. There's a little bit of stuff we know, a ton that we don't know, and a bit more we can learn every day. But with that said, I mean, reality is fascinating. It's beautiful. It's lovely. But every little piece is meaningful. But enjoy the mundane. Enjoy the average, because that's where most of us live. Anyways, till next time, guys. Thank you. I'm Trent. This is the Grace Gamut. But the podcast is, you know what really grinds my gears? We talked about that today. If you want to follow me on YouTube and Instagram, it's in the show notes below. Again, thanks for joining me. And like always, it's all about Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. We'll catch you on the next one. See ya.
You're listening to You Know What Really Grinds My Gears? Dissecting religious ideologies and belief systems through the New Covenant lens of grace.